Today on Chesapeake Shores, we talk about a lot of things. Does Bree lose her play? Does Kevin have PTSD? And does Trace lose his club? So much and more. And we have special guest Barbara Niven in studio. Don't go anywhere, Chessies.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV, Chesapeake Shores After Show. Such a great song. We didn't really cover it in last episode. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV. Joining me, I have special guest, Barbara Niven, once again.
Hi, guys.
Yes, thank you so much for coming back, Barbara.
Thank you for inviting me back, and thank you, all you Chessies, for giving us another season. We owe it all to you. Thank you.
Yes, and everyone can follow you.
Oh, at Barbara Niven on Twitter.
At Barbara Niven. You're great on social media.
Oh, I love social
media. You really are.
Thank you.
Yes, and so glad to have you here.
And that's the voice of...
Chris Daughtry. The yes. voice of Chris Daughtry singing. And I'm glad that we're playing it this week because I'm so happy about the new theme song. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Stefan Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove. Yes.
Dr. Lovegrove.
Dr. Lovegrove.
Dr. Love.
I actually, it was a college cheesy? Nickname. Yeah. I'm not trying to be the next Dr. Yeah. Phil, but it just happened.
And it
works. The username has stuck. So
yes,
here we are.
We've been talking the last 15 minutes, and you definitely give good advice.
Aw, thank you, Barbara. Yeah. And welcome to the After
thank
Show.
Thank you. I love
yes.
it.
We love having you here, Barbara, and we have so much to talk about. This is episode 2, Past and Present. Real quickly, what were your first thoughts? Stefan, how about you?
I feel like the season is moving fast. Like, when I think about everything that's happened already, in a way, it feels like we've gone through more than 2 episodes. I thought the car crash was very random. It was just a random, like, in the middle.
I had not seen it. That was
the car crash
tend
to be. Right?
Well, it was, but it was random, but then, like, the episode recovered very quickly. I thought we were going to, like, end with car crash residue drama. So I thought it was random. I loved Bree. I thought she was shining very bright mm-hmm. this episode.
Yes.
I really liked this episode. I think the season is moving along nicely.
And Barbara, you're part of this show. What are your first thoughts of season 2 and just how it's playing out in the reaction?
First, I'm really glad we got a season 2.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that they moved Megan back home, that she can continue to heal this family. Mm-hmm. And we just had an incredible time. I think we bonded and gelled with our characters a lot more this season as well. Megan is teaching me a lot. Every character teaches me something, but Megan has taught me a lot about maybe being more forgiving, giving people and myself forgiveness and second chances. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that what people take away from the O'Briens is just that feeling that you can go home again, that home is so important, that your family is so important, and to not give up and just find a way to start putting the pieces back together, no matter what blew you apart.
Yeah, I'm going home. Just
I'm
like
going
the,
home.
The
I know. Credits. I love this song. So none of us had seen the opening credits until we saw episode 1.
Oh, really?
But I'm a country music fan. Oh my gosh, that's
same
why I love.
Here.
I love Jesse. You too?
Yes, I love country.
Oh, is he so technically funny. Country?
Well, I
he's
think
like
so.
Pop rock.
Is he?
He could fall under some.
He's
contemporary
definitely country,
country
influence.
Yeah. Yes. So country music, I love just because it makes me feel. And watching Jesse Metcalf sing, and you'll see so much more this season too. Especially, oh my God, wait till he gets into the club, and it's just
that's
incredible. So to have the new credits with the song by Chris Daughtry, "I'm Coming Home," mm-hmm. and then to have each one of the characters just a frame that says who they are in the opening credits. I'm in love with what we were able to do this season.
Yeah, I love the credits. It's mm-hmm. definitely like an update on the season and encompasses everybody mm-hmm. perfectly.
Yep.
Perfectly. Let's get into this episode. There's a lot to talk about.
Let's
start with Bree. Bree and Martin. She's back in Chicago, mm-hmm. but Martin rewrites her whole play. Your thoughts about this? I was pretty peeved, but we'll get there.
Well, I still think Martin is so condescending and patronizing, even worse this episode. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of her. Last week, it wasn't even the decision of how much she was going to fight for her play. It was just, is she even going to go to Chicago?
Right.
And I I thought her three-person scene was brilliant. I was sitting there.
I know.
Like,
isn't that cute?
I was in awe, and I was laughing, and I was proud all at once. And, okay, so my least favorite Martin line ever is how he said, if it wasn't for me, you'd be stuck in Chesapeake Shores. And I just thought that was offensive on so many levels.
I think I've been married to him before.
Oh, no. I think I've dated him before, but I thought it was so offensive, and I was like, first of all, Chesapeake Shores is not a place to get stuck in. Second of all, Brie can do what she wants,
oh,
and she's
gosh.
A good writer, and she doesn't need you, and I was just so proud of her for how she stood up for herself this episode.
I know, and I love how she talked about there's nothing more satisfying than ripping that page out of the typewriter and just crumpling it up and throw it away, and I'd just like to roll out this screenplay right now and whack Martin with it, too.
Right.
And you know that they're really married in real life, Amelia and Kyle. Did you know that?
Oh, really? Are they?
Yes.
I should know this.
And so they had a lot of fun doing these episodes, yeah. So he would come to the island every time that they would shoot, you know, that he would be in the scene. And I just love how they worked together.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Did you know that, Marissa?
No, I didn't.
Yes.
My mind has been blown.
But did you know that they also had, I mean, it's hard when you're the person that you love is supposed to be a jerk and you have to, you know, like deal with that in a scene. So it kind of rubs off a little bit. So you have to kiss and make up. So I'm sure they did a lot of that.
I'm sure they did. Well, you couldn't tell. I think they did so great at playing polar opposites.
I'm still in shock at this information. So clearly they acted it well.
Yes. And I love that Brie just was such a lesson for us women, probably for everybody. But, you know, that you can see each person in this has got a journey that, and you see Brie's journey as she's getting stronger and getting herself and saying, no, I'm not going to accept that. This is me. And, you know, give him the hand.
Oh, I love that. And especially how she called up women's right to, like, get the actual big dogs in charge of this. I was like, good for you.
Well, because Martin was acting like he was the top dog.
And
she was like, actually, I'm going to go above you and tell them what's going on.
I know. Yes, and then the other actress, remember, she caught them kind of kissing a little bit in that, or acting, and then the girl gets into reading the script, says, that's really good, goodbye, you know, and then you take a bow at the end. Remember how she did that?
So
it was so well written. The writing in this, I love this season so much. Michael Burns is our new showrunner and head writer.
Yes.
And Kirsten Hansen, Nancy Silvers, executive producers and writes. We've got amazing writers in this. So.
And Cheryl Woods is very creatively part
of
the show, too.
Yes, Cheryl Woods. So what Cheryl Woods and I would do, you know, she's the writer of that whole series of Chesapeake Shore. Mm-hmm. She's the one that created the whole town, the characters, everything that we are lucky enough to flesh out. So we would always get on the phone like every couple of weeks and say, okay, so what do you think? Are you happy with dailies that you're seeing? And she would, because we never get to see dailies as actors. So, and she would say, yeah, I like this. I like this. Oh, and I really love that moment. So what's good for us as actors is that we never get to see any scene that we're not acting in. So as we finally see the episode, you get to see what you missed. And oh my God, my hat's off. I honor the other actors in this. I think everybody is so well cast and so good.
So I'm trying to think, whose character do you see the least of? Like, I'm just trying to think through the scenes of who would you not be present for? Like, whose scenes surprise you the most when it airs?
Well, I haven't acted a lot with, like I got more this year with Kevin, but I had not acted a lot with him yet.
Which, I don't want to jump ahead, but I love the you and Kevin scenes from this episode. Mm-hmm. That was such a cool dynamic. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. Really interesting, because, so, Megan moves back, and she needs, the help of moving in, and Kevin's the one to help her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great bonding moment, mother, son, because even in season one, you still had a really strong relationship between you two. There wasn't really any animosity compared to the other siblings.
You know how each sibling has got, in any family, has got a role. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin's has always been to protect everybody else and to be the hero, to be the role model, and maybe give too much of himself. And so, again, he's helping Megan move in, you know, and hiding what's really going on. So I thought the way that they wrote and filmed that scene in the kitchen as he is helping me unpack, and all of a sudden there's a loud noise and PTSD, and that is, I just thought that was so well thought out and real, and I'm glad that they're going into some of that, too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Bringing in the PTSD storyline. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it in other television, but did you guys do like a lot of research on how to write about this situation?
Yeah, I'm sure that they did. I know Kevin did a lot of research on last season because, you know, he came back from the war with, and mm-hmm. he'd been through the horrible accident, and yes. he really researched. He's a fine actor. He went and talked with other veterans and found out what they had gone through. So a lot of what you see is not surface. I think that's something that I'm really proud of. Nobody takes this and just the surface acts with this. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not just acting, it's writing, it's producing, it's all the little details, the props department, just set decoration. You go into some of these places, into Sally's, and you're really there, you know. And it's not really Sally's, but they make it like that. So I just think it's wonderful to be in a show that is filmed with such excellence.
Yeah, it's definitely filmed. So, I mean, you can definitely see the production value has yep. really upped its game in this one. Yeah. Especially when you two are on the beach. Yeah. There's like this big overhead shot of like the whole beach and him yeah. running. It was gorgeous. I love
it's
it.
It's been beautiful TV. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful, but I think it's, and I love that it's beautiful, but I think it's also, it's showing people are not all glossy, gorgeous, you know. I think it takes yes. a step further than, you know, I love Hallmark, but a lot of it makes just is there to make you feel good too. And I think I'm proud that Chesapeake Shores is also to make people question and not maybe be so tied up so pretty at the end with everything. So I'm proud of that.
I think that's what drew me to this show originally to begin with last mm-hmm. season is to have a show about an American family this mm-hmm. large and not have issues and drama and pain would not be real. And
nobody.
You know, yeah. and don't get me wrong, Marissa and I have talked about this. I love me some Countdown to Christmas.
Oh, yeah, my God.
And we don't need all the storylines in Countdown to Christmas because it's a 2-hour movie.
Yep.
But when we're following over the course of a yes. summer fall series, this family, yeah. I, you know, glossy is exactly the word. I do think it's good to get a non-glossy portrayal mm-hmm. of there is hurt and there is brokenness mm-hmm. and there are real life issues mm-hmm. that people have to work through.
And there's hope. That's Absolutely. What is so good, because no matter what, and when I play the character Megan in each scene with whatever character it is, I'm, as the actress, I'm actually marking, okay, what are the little victories that I see? Like in Jess, you know, like it's been so hard with her, you know, mm-hmm. And it hurts my heart. It's hard for us to do those scenes, but you just have to go in as in real life and say, and measure the progress. So maybe this time she didn't just slam the door in my face quite so fast, or maybe she called me mom, or maybe she looked me in the eye once. So that's huge victory, and that's progress that we can show in our real life too.
Yeah. Before we move on to yep. Jess, I have one more question about Kevin. Yep. Him dealing with the PTSD, is yeah. this going to be like a season-long type of battle that we're going to see him like work through?
You think I can tell you that?
Maybe.
I was going to say, Marissa's yes, being very covert with her, can you give us a spoiler
maybe.
Here?
I just want to yeah. know.
So, do you see how she kind of wiggled that in?
Oh, I saw.
I don't want Megan to get killed off real quick, okay?
That's fair. All right. This isn't a soap opera. I think Megan's life is safe, I hope.
All right, so maybe this is a season-long issue that he's working with the family can help him with.
I have a question about Kevin before we move on. Does he legitimately have no painful history with Megan, or does he feel obligated to be there for her and support her just because he's the older brother and he's got to be there for her?
I think, of course, I think every family, with whoever in your family, you have good moments and you have bad moments. Mm-hmm. And we have roles that we play. And so it needs to be discussed and we need to work through it. So I think, but he's, do you remember last season 1, Mick talked about, and Megan talked about, why didn't you let Kevin come see me after
9/11?
Yeah, 9/11. And mm-hmm. and Mick said, well, I didn't want him to go because I didn't want him to go. And so it's all the miscommunication. And mm-hmm. what I'm hoping to do is that Kevin and Megan and the other kids find a way to get past those roles and maybe the hurt and get new foundations for relationships and heal. So I think Megan learned in that moment about the 9/11 thing. This was not a good parent moment. I should not have laid that on my kid. And so it's a lesson. I won't do it again.
Yeah.
And mothers do learn from their kids. And no matter whatever happens in your kid's life, we always think that it's our fault. So, and part of it is and part of it isn't. So,
yeah. And we also learned that he's not really talking to Georgia as much about life. It seems like they're kind of phasing out of this relationship, unfortunately, so for him.
I know, I love
now,
Molly.
Are you, do you think it's unfortunate? I found myself not caring.
Okay. Mm.
See, in terms of, I think that relationship is very in the back burner of the show right now, and I was like,
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think right now it's all about Kevin trying to heal himself and taking care of himself.
Yes.
And not taking care of his fiance and starting a life. He has to take care of himself first.
Because until you do that, you're not good for anybody else.
Exactly.
You know what? I will give Kevin credit because I don't know if it's the healthiest thing of, like, let me do something to... At least it's exercise, right? But this... Yeah. A lot of people have this philosophy of, I need to feel pain.
Yep.
Because hurting helps, because at least I can feel something.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
Yes. See, but, doctor.
But I give him... I give him credit for at least trying to feel something. Because, as I said last week, I think Jess is in full-blown distraction mode. Yep. Of, I'm just going to keep myself so busy, I don't have to feel any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So at least Kevin is trying to feel something, and honestly, that's more important than a romantic relationship for him right now.
Yeah. It is.
Yep.
You know,
he's taking care of himself,
and we all have to remember that too. You know,
yes. Let's get to Jess because we mentioned her a few times. So we saw last episode she involuntarily volunteered herself for wedding plans, and she's doing all these wedding plans with David. Your thoughts of this bridal shower? That is not the shower. The bridal wearing the gown.
The 1 week wedding plan, which sounds like a TLC show.
But I think like the very first scene when she's in the dress. My question is, why is she wearing the dress when she's not the one getting married?
Oh, because I know that one. Because the cousin doesn't live there, and they're somewhere else, but they're coming in, and they will have 1 day for the wedding before they have to take off for wherever they're going.
Okay.
So they have to. Evidently, she's about the same size as Jess, and he's
about
the same
time as
David. I was
going to say, are they that close that we can just...
I only
probably got
it.
Her size. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I was like, why is she wearing the dress? Because if I was getting married, I wouldn't want my wedding planner to wear my dress, because we don't know what body types.
Yeah.
So.
But can we talk about the hilarious moment with Mick and Gran with the glasses and standing in the window?
I just thought
it was so funny.
And Treat and Diane improv that, and they weren't sure if it was going to keep in or not. But
I'm glad they kept it in. Hysterical. The window was hysterical, and then when they came in and the two of them were just standing there and David has to say something to break the tension. Hilarious.
I know.
That was a very well acted scene, and like comedic, and then there were some serious moments, and even them trying to figure out who the cousin was. Yeah. Like, is it second cousin? Yep. First cousin?
That's good acting. That's really good acting.
I really enjoy that. Yeah. So this was pretty much just the start of the crazy wedding plans. Mm-hmm. We saw the cake disaster.
Yeah, and they evidently ran out of time because we actually filmed a montage of making the cake.
Okay.
So, which was really fun. So,
the cake to replace the tiny one with the one bride and the 3 inches.
That was so funny. And how wise of Nell to gently guide her into Megan, you know? And I wanted Megan to not have judgment again and just say, I'll take it, you know?
I think it was progressive of Jess to, you know, get through the cake making. Yep. But even the steps it took for her to finally get to Megan to even kind of ask her to do the cake.
Well, she looked at everyone else first.
Everyone else first.
It's okay. I don't care if I'm last because I got in and it was one more of those little victories.
You acted that so well. The camera kept going back to your face between her... looking at every other family member, and I thought it was so... We felt it. We felt for you in the moment.
Thank you.
Can I just say, because I gave Jess a hard time last week of when is she going to get out of this pattern of stressing everything out to the 100th degree and it calling in a panic over and over. And I felt like this was a growth episode for her.
It was?
I felt like for the wedding, she was less stressed than I expected. Mm-hmm. There was like one moment where she was a little with Trace, like a little, you know. Yeah. But overall, she was less stressed than I expected. She actually showed up to Megan's party,
yes,
which I did not expect from her. I thought when we saw Connor there, I was like, oh, poor Megan, is this it? Because that's, you know, that's no fun when you throw a party and no one shows up. And I just thought this was a great episode for her of progression, as you said.
Also, with the help of Nell, though.
Yep.
Gotta love Nell for actually nudging her along.
And somehow it worked. And nobody got mad at, like, Nell's masterminding doesn't bother people.
I think
everybody
wishes that they had a Nell in their life.
I mean, I sure do. She's a walking inspirational poster.
And
I love
Diane Ladd, the actress, the person is the same way. Oh my gosh, she's become one of my best friends I have ever had in my life. And so we all stay 3 months at a hotel on the beach up on Vancouver Island. And I'm down here and Diane Ladd is right above me.
Oh,
and
goodness.
And we're every day we walk on the beach and she leads us in meditation. She has led all of us on the set in an impromptu prayer before. I mean, she walks the talk and she's just such a good actress. She inspires the best out of all of us in each scene that we get to be with her.
That's amazing. Especially because I know you two bonded in the first season, but now, you know, going
it's
through meditation
further.
And you really are a family.
Yeah, we are a family.
And you spent 3 months this time?
3 months and 10 days, but who's counting?
Wow.
Yes, so, and I didn't come back
no
once.
No breaks in between?
No, I didn't come back this time. I wanted to do... For Megan's character, I wanted to do kind of the journey that me, Barbara, has been on too about using the spiritual journey to bring her strength. And so if you look at my house in that scene that we had, I had my own personal things in there. I have a Bible. I've got my angel cards. I've got my salt crystal. I've got my Tibetan singing bowl there.
Oh, wow.
And all of that. And it all just feeds you. You know, it gives you strength and grounding. And that's what I think Megan just needed to hold on to and wrap herself in this cocoon of that, too, so that she can be strong for the family now. And she's going to be, you'll see a difference in her this year. I felt a shift in her. She's not, it's so nice to not only just to be able to smile sometimes this year instead of being I'm so sorry, please like me, you know. So
you must have felt the energy of the chat, because somebody, Chris, asked a while back to you. He said, Barbara, we know that you've used meditation to derive strength personally. Where do you think your character Megan gets her strength? So you knew what they wanted to know.
Excellent. Question.
Yeah. I know.
Is it Chris?
Someone was watching Human Family.
Chris Gelke?
I can find out for you. Yeah.
Hello, Chessies.
Oh, hi, Chessies.
Hi, Chessies.
You guys, thank you so much.
The live chat is popping. There are people who are on Jess's side.
Yeah.
Which, I think we all find ourselves in the characters of this show, which is, as somebody acknowledged in the live chat, that's what makes it work. So.
Yep. And you don't know why Megan has left yet. I think you find
that's
out
a good
more
point.
This, you'll find out more this season. But I, as actors, again, we use what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know.
Did you know while you filmed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My story, my own personal story. Because when last year I first started getting scripts and it would say, I had to leave because of me. I had to leave to save myself. And I kept saying, no, a mother does not do that. A mother leaves because it will make their kid's life better. So imagine raising your kids, all these little kids. She had 5 kids, you know, and with a husband who is gone, and then when they are there, they fight, and you don't want your kids to do that. And what do you do? Because how can Megan go away and not have an apartment, not have a job? So you need to leave them there so they're safe but you always think that you're going to be able to bring them back. Mm-hmm. But a divorce is not always fair, is it? And money wins out, and they wouldn't let the kids come with me. And then Nell moves in, and how can I take them away from Nell? So these are all the things that I build in my backstory that I know. So I know Megan did it out of love, and then it just gets away from you. Like, how do you keep intruding on somebody's life when they don't want you?
Yep.
So it's complicated. Mm. So there's no black and white. And she has got guilt. She's got, I know there's blame, but I admire her now because she wants to make it right. She's at a point in her life where she wants to go back and say, guys, I'm sorry, but let's move forward. Let's heal and let's make the rest of the time that we have together really good.
Yeah, that's a lot of drama, but that's also very realistic in divorce situations.
I have so many people, you can't believe how many people that come up to me, meet me out, or have my old friends who I know have been divorced say, you are, this is my life. Mm-hmm. And I say, what? I didn't know that. Yes, but they left their kids to go do what they want. Happens with women a lot because we don't have the money. We don't have, we don't take the house. Like when I got divorced, I left the house. I didn't take child support. I didn't take the car because I felt guilty, but I managed to raise my daughter alone as a single mother as an actress, which is iffy, you know, and it could have gone either way, trust me, but I was really lucky. And so all we just can't judge what we until we walk in somebody else's shoes.
Absolutely.
So all you can do is do your best, and as a parent you want to do your best for your kids, and so if you haven't done it yet, start now.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of parents, side note, my mom watched all of season one. She binged it, and it's like pulling teeth with my mother. I love you, Mom.
Ah, thank you,
but
Mom.
Like for her to watch television, yeah. She loved Chesapeake Shores. Aww. And she loves you. I was talking to her yesterday. She
so
says
let's
hi.
Do a little video afterwards and we'll say hi,
we
Mom.
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could.
Thank you. Tell her hi.
Side note, you guys. Sorry, had a moment. But yeah, she loves this show. But I think the family relations and the things, all the, you know, ebbs and flows of what they go through. Yep. It's very realistic. And yeah. I think that's why a lot of people love this show, because it is true to a lot of people.
Well, you know, Lisa in the live chat said there are definitely two sides to the story. The how and the why is much easier for an adult to understand. Yeah. I'm curious, do you think people are going to watch, whether it's your storyline or another one, but particularly yours, do you think people are going to watch and realize in something that they've been through, there's two sides, and that maybe their heart will open to somebody else's side of the story?
Well, don't you think that, I think art is what teaches us communication. So by watching somebody else's side, maybe on a TV screen or on a movie screen or in a play or in a book, you kind of open up that there is another side. So until you see that, maybe you're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
So, but you can start feeling somebody else's and just open it up a crack. A possibility, and to start healing. Just open the dialogue, and maybe then have the dialogue, maybe say one word and start opening the dialogue in your own family, too, because we all have things that we shove under the rug, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. I love this. It's great. Let's move on to Trace. Trace almost losing the club. Well, Mick wants to sell it underneath him, unfortunately. Trace is not having it. He's putting up his house. He's really putting everything, all of his eggs into this basket. Were you ever really concerned that Trace was really going to lose his club?
Well, I don't know if I was concerned about that. I did feel bad for him. Because nobody was that understanding, and it put him in a bad position.
Yeah.
Like, I get where Abby was coming from, but I also think her head's very much on work and on trying to figure out what happened with Mick and all of that. So I felt like for being in a relationship, Abby was not as understanding as I expected her to be. I don't know. I don't know if I was ever really worried. I figured they would work out something. Because maybe I just wanted them to. I was rooting for them to work out something. I loved that he put the sound system in. And I love that club. I love every time we get
bridge,
shots of it. And, like, I like... Yeah. I was happy.
It looks gorgeous. And it's not even completed yet.
Oh, just wait till you hear him singing it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I like every time we get him singing. So I need that storyline so he can sing.
Yes. But you guys, so that whole thing with Trace and Abby... Just like real relationships, nowadays we are so busy doing our work and all of this. How do you find time to make it work together? And again, I think that's a really good lesson and good journey for people to watch as they struggle with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're repeating exactly what Mick and Megan went through. Abby is doing the same thing. How do you find time for your kids? It's the age-old thing, the whole guilt thing. So I think it's great that they're profiling that in the show.
Can I just say, I actually think Abby is justified in feeling a little off when she has to hear that he stayed up all night working on music with Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because on the surface it sounds bad that, like, no one wants to hear you were staying up all night writing with another girl. But when we see Lee, she won't let it go.
Yeah.
Her intention, it's all about intention. Her intention is to get back with him. So I think that is problematic. And I'm not saying he needs to draw a hard line yet necessarily, but like she needs to give up the intention that they're going to get back together. Or I don't blame Abby for feeling off about that.
I get it. I get it. You're absolutely right.
Do you really think it's her and it's Lee's intention to get back with Trace or just to finish this album that they are obligated to actually
finish? No, I think she wants to get back together and she's using the album, but that's her end game.
Okay.
Maybe that's a little divisive and I'm giving her bad motives. I don't think she's let it go.
The actress Brittany is so wonderful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And her singing, isn't
great
she
voice.
Great?
Great
voice. So I love
well, I'm
that fine. She came
I
back
do
to
love
share.
Her. I do yeah. love her voice. I just think for Abby's sake, I just think it's fair for her. So usually, yes. I would take the side of you need to trust your partner, mm-hmm. and if you can't trust him, what's wrong in the relationship? Mm-hmm. But with this case, I'm like, the girl really does have some shady motives, I think.
And sharing a dream is a powerful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Especially when it's not with the love of your life.
Yeah. And so what do you do if you're in love with somebody and their dream is off in a far-off country
but
or in
But I don't think his
state.
Dream is Nashville anymore, is it?
We'll
have to see.
Who knows?
I spoke too soon.
But once you have a dream, like an acting dream, like I had to move to LA, and that means I had to change location. You guys, did you start out here?
No.
See? So what does that do? It just opens up way more things and a lot more drama to put into a TV series.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You move for your passion, I think.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, Kevin Undergaro, our executive producer and founder of this place, is always like, don't be afraid to go after what you want, even if that does mean, like, uprooting your life and relocating.
Yep, go after your dream and don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle.
Yes, I love that saying. It's so true.
We're having Chesapeake Shores Church. That's what we're having.
Yes.
So true. Yeah, because I'm from Illinois, but watching Brie in Chicago, I saw all these Chicago shots. It felt like home.
You know, I'm really glad that they got Trace for the wedding, because when she was listening to that awful band and then talking about David's heart playing, I was sitting there like, come on, surely they can get Trace to do this. And so then when she went down to talk to him, I was like, oh, good, because I truly thought it was ridiculous that we were about to have David playing the harp.
So, but you know, you just crushed the dream. You know those three singers that did that troubled band? They probably thought they, you know.
That was their start.
Well.
I know.
Well, I don't know.
The start not at that wedding, but it was great to get, you know, even Trace, who's kind of pretty much part of their family in a sense, to perform at that wedding is very apropos, I think.
And I liked that he said about the club, and this is when I started to wonder, maybe there is some part of him that still wants to be in Nashville, but I like that he said, this is about more than business, and I want to give something back, and I feel like any dream that somebody has that doesn't connect to that piece is like an incomplete dream, or it's not the final dream, because that's where we all get to, of a point of like whatever career accomplishments, everybody gets to a point of, I really am here to contribute and give something back. So
absolutely.
That's what makes me think this is a purpose thing for him. It's obviously deeper than business. And I was like, good, Trace. That's what we're here to do.
Don't you just wish that you fell in love with your high school boyfriend and then just you were there 50 years, because you wouldn't have all these complications, because you would grow together, probably the same dream, same location.
Yeah.
So that just points out what we do today. You know, everybody's got so much going on. How do you make your love of your life last?
Yeah, and you talked about dreams, because dreams change when you grow up and in all different forms. But I loved when Abby was even talking to Mick about Trace's clubs, like, and she knew that this was something that Trace always wanted to do, even when they were young and growing up. So, like, talking about the dreams staying the same with those two.
And I love that Mick is softening, too. It's getting in. I just treat such a fine actor, and you can just see. Haven't you noticed he's changed?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've noticed, because all of season one, it was just business.
Yep.
He would leave the family, just up and leave, to go take care
which
of business.
Which is what I think when Megan was married to him, which is how it was. Mm-hmm. And somehow it's shifting.
It's definitely shifting, because this episode, it started off as business. He's like, you'll get more money. It's like, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
But at the end, when family came into play, and it's more emotions, more sentimentality to it, and like the family love for it, then he started
softening. And grandkids change everything, guys. I'm a grandma. I've got two grandkids. One's 2 and one's 6. And seriously, it changes everything. Changes your perspective. So it's more about family and figuring out what's best for everything, because it's not black and white anymore.
No. It never is.
You know, I really like how Mick's character is developing in this season, and it, specifically in this episode, because I think, like, of all family dynamics, a lot of people have dad issues. You know what I mean? Like, yep. People all from all backgrounds. It's just a stereotype. And, you know, it's very stereotypical TV to just have the aloof, workaholic dad. Mm-hmm. And talking about, like, revealing other sides and giving us deeper layers of characters, I think it's really cool to see. First of all, Abby has really profound insights on mixed patterns, which is, I think, is interesting. Yeah. But I like that we're seeing even the depths of where he has closed himself off. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we're not, there's no one, with the exception of Connor, who I still could use a little more character development from, I feel like we're not seeing these characters as one-dimensional. Yeah. And I like that. It's easy for us to see even the people in our own family as one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And I like that even Mick, the behaviors that he does that aren't the healthiest, we're understanding and we're getting deeper into.
I know. He's surprising Megan. I mean, so, like, when, remember last week, that the first week, on first episode, where he comes to the door, and I said, okay, I didn't tell you because I thought you were going to talk me out of it. And then he brings out the flowers. I go, oh. Because, you know, he just surprises you. So I love that. I just love the writing this year. Because that's real life, because people aren't linear. And you always, remember your first love, you always, the rest of your life, you think, you forget the things that were bad about your relationship and that used to drive you crazy, and you still think, oh man, I remember our first kiss. I remember, you know, we stood out here with the stars, and, you know, you still get goosebumps when you see them, and then all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, that's why we didn't work out.
Right.
But you always have hope, so you never know.
Yeah, I did love that. And you mentioned Connor. Connor has a job interview. Yeah. It's not his first choice. Do you think that was by design? Do you think Mick actually talked to someone that he knew at that law firm?
Well, we saw him at his first choice, right? Because he was reading other people's resumes out loud, and I was like, oh, goodness.
You don't do that.
Don't, Connor.
You don't read other people's resumes and their requirements and skill sets, because, you know, that brings a lot of self-doubt of yourself.
Exactly.
And that's what he did. Like, because I don't even think he went through the first interview. I think he just up and left.
He left? Yeah. That's what I was wondering, is do we think that he could have gotten the first interview if he didn't lose his confidence?
Maybe.
I know what that must have felt like as an actor in the waiting room, waiting to go in for an audition.
Sure.
And there's all these stars that you've grown up looking at, and they're like, oh my God. And you just think, oh, I'll never have a chance. I'll just leave right now.
Yep.
Goodbye. You're wonderful. You know, so, yeah. So this season, you're going to see a lot more development from Connor. Great journey with him. So, this is just the beginning. And Andrew is just terrific. In this character, yeah. Because he's, again, not linear. You get surprises from him all the time.
I'm excited to see him, because we saw a little bit of him last season, he going through the law school, but now actually trying to find his, arguably, probably his very first big boy job, you know, out in the world.
Wearing a suit.
Oh, looks great in a suit.
I know he does. He cleans up well, that boy.
Yes, he does.
Well, I'm glad that you can at least tell us we get more.
Yeah, you do get more Connor. Oh, absolutely.
Do you think he'll like this new job at this new place? Or do you think there'll be maybe some tension because it's not his first place, or some resentment?
Ooh, I don't know. I think what's interesting is that Mick had to be right. Which, I mean, that is a stereotypical Mick thing, that he gave him the backup play. And, you know, Connor was genuinely grateful, because obviously he didn't get the first choice.
That always happens with parents, too. Parents just tell you, do this first, and you're like, no, I'm going to go X, Y, and Z, and then you still end up back to the first place that they recommended. Yeah, it happens a lot.
Well, you know what? I loved...
He does.
The boys really showed up for Megan this episode.
Yes.
I love that Connor was the first one at the party, and somebody had said in the live chat earlier they want to hear Megan leaving the story of that, or the perspective on that, from all of the kids, because they all have a different one.
Yes.
And I just think how they all relate is so interesting. Yeah. And so I think Kevin being there for her in his own way is beautiful. I think Connor showing up to the party was beautiful. I don't know. I think people are giving Connor a lot of credit in the live chat and saying, what a big growth episode. And I'm like, well, he didn't get a job, so he had to go to a backup plan. But I'm excited to see how he continues to grow and develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He did get a job, you guys. So that's really hard in just
But did we know that he got a job?
Or well, he did the interview.
They did the interview, but they toasted at the dinner, like, to Connor's new job.
I don't know.
They toasted
to Connor's new job. No, they did. They did toast. I think that they, I thought they were toasting did,
or was
the
it
job.
The interview? Okay, was it the job? Okay.
New job.
Okay. I have now I'm questioning everything. Now I'm like, what? Da, da, da. I don't know.
I'm
I thought
like
that he had a job.
I'm 90% sure that they were toasting.
Let us know in the live chat. Did you get the impression Connor had just done a good interview, or did you get the impression that he officially had a job?
Got hired.
Let us know what you thought.
I don't know. We might have missed it. But you know what we also missed? Kevin being the rescuer of this car accident. Him taking his shirt off.
Which, again, was like, so out of nowhere in an episode that ended with a wedding.
I was like, whew. Kevin.
I know.
My
he
goodness.
Looked awfully
I did. I
as
like,
his mother,
okay.
I can say that, yes. Yeah, yes. But he, yeah. And
my goodness.
Yeah.
I did not expect that at all.
I thought that was such a well-acted scene, too, with the, it was real. The accident seemed real, didn't it, to you?
It did.
It was.
Well, at first when I saw the car, you know what my first thought was, is when it was rounding the corner, I thought it was going to be Thomas, and I thought it was supposed to be telling us that, like, he was showing up with this aggressive energy into town. Then it wrecked, and I was like, oh, this has nothing to do with Thomas. And so then I was like, oh, my, like, what's happening with this wreck? And Kevin came to the rescue.
And I thought Kevin was great, but I also was so impressed with Megan Ory's portrayal of Abby in that moment. I mean, just every single thing she did with her face, like this, and then doing this, and it was so real. I thought the two of them just acted the heck out of that scene.
Yes, I completely agree. I thought so, too. Like, if you're not properly trained like Kevin was in that situation, how do you handle yourself? How do you actually try to help save a life? And I thought it was great on both ends. Like, Kevin just took action and arguably saved that man's life.
Yeah. I like how they said, this one's yours. Wasn't that cool?
Well, and nice
just
for
acknowledging each other.
Nice for him to have a moment of, like, because we saw the PTSD moment in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So nice for the military experience, like, to come
to
in handy
in
a positive way and save somebody's life, since he is going through a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good indication of what Kevin's actually meant for.
By the way, the overall consensus is that Connor got the job.
Yes. Okay.
And they took a toast because they thought he got the job.
Yes.
I know so many of these people.
That's what I thought.
And people liked the car wreck scene.
I thought it was just so well done. For as short and as fast as that was, you got a lot of emotions out of that.
It scared me. Came out of nowhere. Yeah,
scared, frightened, anxiety, all
then,
within 3 minutes.
And then, wow, Kevin just was a hero.
Yeah.
Just kicked in. So I think
I have a prediction about this scene.
Oh, yeah?
Which we'll talk about at the end of the show. We'll save that for later. Yes, but also at the actual wedding, sorry not to jump around a little bit, but at the end with the whole wedding that actually goes down, and it seems successful. It looked gorgeous. Everyone in their dresses and tuxes. Beautiful day.
It went surprisingly well for how terrible of an idea it was to agree to that last minute wedding.
Wasn't it cute when she did that? Do you guys ever have anything come out of your mouth and then you go, what did I just say?
Yeah. What if I just agreed to?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah. So Jess, I think we are all a little bit like Jess. Mm-hmm. And probably a little bit like all the characters.
Right.
Like, huh?
Yeah, but she volunteered herself for it, and she overcame it. She had a lot of panic attacks here and there, but at the end, she still succeeded.
She's growing stronger, and she's doing it her way.
Yes, she did. She needed a little help here and there, but it's okay to get help from other people.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
Well, that. Actually, I didn't think about this theme. There was kind of a theme throughout the episode of getting help, because she had to get help with the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then Connor had to get help with the job. And I actually wrote down the phrase someone to talk to, because I felt like that was a theme of this episode of Jess needing to talk to Gran and
needing to talk to Abby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just being this family does not talk to each other in the patterns of the past.
So
I think it's one of their huge growth things. I mean, Abby says, we are the kings and queens of missed opportunities.
Uh-huh.
And she says, how are we expected to have healthy relationships when we have a dad that doesn't talk to his ex-wife and doesn't talk to two brothers? And so I think, you know, I think the whole family is growing, which is exactly what I said last week, is I want to see multiple characters continue to grow. I think everybody is growing, and it begins with you got to talk to each other. You got to communicate.
Yeah. Talk about family growing. The brother comes back, Thomas. We get Mick and Thomas.
The drama at the wedding.
Meet. But we didn't see the conversation, so that's more episodes to come, I'm sure. But they seem somewhat civil. They shook hands.
Oh, but there was so much tension.
You could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, you could. And so it was like the standoff, you know, in the old West. Like, he's coming in with his six shooters. And then Mick turns around and says, Thomas. And what was the line? What did they say? It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It was so cool.
I do not believe that Abby's going to be able to stay out of this.
No, I mean,
the whole episode I was on edge. I was like, she's going to get wound up in this somehow. And I don't care if Mick says he's leaving this to her and do your work. And she's going to get mixed up in this in a way that she doesn't want to be. I just predict.
As she always does, though.
Yeah, because everybody counts on Abby. She has a hard role in this family.
She's misdependable.
Yeah. Well, and now that Jess is doing slightly better, Abby's got to get herself mixed up in some other burden to bear. So this
and,
is
and
it.
I just thought, Amelia, I just wanted to say again about that whole, I just thought she was so phenomenal in this episode. I loved her in this episode.
I loved her. I was rooting for her. I was like, yeah, woman, you stand for your rights and all that.
But just the acting as an actress, I thought she was extraordinary.
Yeah. She made me laugh, almost cry. I was frustrated for her. Also, just being a woman, also in the industry that deals with a lot of sexism, you know, I was frustrated for her. But that shows good acting and good writing when you feel.
That was, and I thought that was a deeper discussion. For a Hallmark movie, for her to talk about, I don't appreciate women being portrayed this way in a script. I was like, oh, this is a deep conversation for this Sunday night drama.
Martin made it about himself. And she said that line, you always make it about yourself. I was like,
I loved that.
She said all those things I always wanted to say.
Yeah, all those jabs. I loved it.
I know.
Well, and the other girl who was in the play, reacting, like reading the line that she had written for her little calling out Martin moment, and then reacting to it like, ooh, that's good. Yeah. Like, cracking me up so much.
That one,
And even the cast, you know, of the play was like, we like this version better. So go with a better version. But it's easier said than done. Other than that, like, she did say what she wanted to Martin through her way of, I think that was the best way she could say it.
So do we always fall in love with our father? Because Martin is a lot like Mick was, I think.
I did think that was one interesting, like, subplot of that, of being written into the lines, she didn't trust men because this guy hadn't been there for her, and I did think that was very interesting.
It is.
Yeah. That's like,
so what, do you marry a narcissist if you know a narcissist?
Takes one to know one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but what, is Abby doing that?
I don't know. She's got a different, I think, Abby
a different is relation now, a different to her father?
Yes, but also... I just think she and Trace are soulmates.
Yeah.
And I don't think that comes around all that often, so I so hope that they can put all those different dreams aside, different things, and figure it out. And that's what's going to be fun to watch.
I wanted the kids to see them. I didn't want, for sure, but like I thought the kids were going to see them kiss at the wedding.
Oh.
Because I was like, this is a very public place.
I thought that too.
It was like a wide shot. It's outdoors. It's at a wedding. I was like, they don't usually share these moments in public. But as far as we know, no one saw.
That too. I was like, that's very open. Yeah, I thought it too. But I didn't really see how it would affect the kids because... The first episode of this season, we got the introduction, so I think the kids might have been
just mommy's friend now, though.
I don't think it would have rocked their world. They just would have kind of probably... I expected them to giggle and say, like, oh, mommy and her friend are not
friends. I think it's still too soon. It's so hard to introduce your next boyfriend.
I think it's too soon, too. That's why I was surprised that she risked the kiss.
No, so maybe that was... I didn't pick that up, but you have to plan it out. You don't want to keep bringing men into their lives, so... And that's I think Abby is a very careful person.
That's very true. And we know some time has passed. I mean, most of the summer has passed within season one
true.
And
so
season
we don't know
two.
What's happening.
So in real time, it could have been maybe like 2 months. I think it might be fair to some women, not for everybody, that think it's comfortable. It's been long enough after 2 months to introduce someone to the family. Very true.
I don't know. We want Abby and Trace to work out.
Yes, we all do.
We all do. That's the one thing. There's been many disputes, but we can all agree on that.
Yep.
Yes.
This is so fun to look at all those.
Yes,
Jordan Blackstone. I just saw the beautiful painting that you did for Marissa. Yes. Oh my God, you are the most incredible artist ever.
Seriously.
People are saying Abby filled in the maternal role because Megan wasn't there. There's a lot of anti-Megan comments. I don't want Barbara to read all the comments about Megan.
No, it's okay.
We love Barbara.
but it's a journey, and whatever blame Megan has, you know, I accept it for her and just hope that she can make it right. Because if we don't know that we can change, mm-hmm. We'll never fulfill what our destiny in this life. You know, and it is about a higher purpose. Part of this was about a higher purpose with Trace, too, about his dream, as you said, and all of us. You know, you get a little older. I've got grandkids now, and that little whisper keeps coming in about, so what are you doing with your life? You know, it will happen with you, and it shifts a little bit. Maybe you've already had some of that, but it does happen. So I think that is partly the reason now that Mick is shifting and that Megan is shifting and the family is shifting.
And I think just the idea of, you know, being hurt by your loved ones, such as a parent leaving, healing just takes time.
It does take
and
time.
And I think what's great with this show is they're really showing that in real time. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not going to be solved in 2 episodes. It's going to be solved in maybe a few seasons.
Hopefully.
Exactly.
Hopefully a lot of seasons. So give Megan a chance, please, guys.
Yes. Be open. Yeah. I love it and that, like, Megan's actually there. She can fully be there and be mm-hmm. committed to mm-hmm. being with the family mm-hmm. and making amends. Yeah.
And it's a big risk, too, because she had a great job in New York and a great life there. But it's
And she's work. Not the most popular. Yeah. And, I mean, there's people who stand up for her, but, I mean, it is a big risk.
I know.
She's not the most popular in Chesapeake Shores. But, as I acknowledged last week, it has to be a two-way street if any kind of reconciliation is going to happen. And we got to give her credit that she's changing a lot. Mm-hmm. And obviously Jess is less interested in changing or changing at a slower pace in that relationship.
But have you ever noticed that sometimes the people that you hate the most are the people you are the most like?
Yeah.
Very much so.
So maybe we will find that they eventually have a lot in common. You never know.
Absolutely. Just like Connor is very similar to Mick.
And we would have thought
Megan's
that,
very similar to Jess.
Yeah.
Do we know what Megan's... Lisa wants to know, what is Megan doing for a job in the shores?
Oh, you'll find out. Yes.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Because we don't know yet.
Fine. Yes, you will find out.
Okay.
Good question.
Things to look forward mm-hmm. to.
There's okay, a lot to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love the season so far.
I know,
and we're only 2 episodes in.
And so. can I just say thank you to all of you Chessies so much.
Of course.
A shout out, huge shout out to you. We've been doing, you know, the live tweeting during the shows, and it's been fun to get to know you. And then this, I love you guys. So it's just such a great way to get to know you guys. If you're not following the fans of Chesapeake Shores, of fans of Hallmark Channel's Chesapeake Shores on Facebook, please do. Also follow Hallmark Channel. There's just... I don't know if you guys know yet, but we are really working hard to get a fan convention going for next season, too.
Yes.
So I met some of the Hardys. I'm a Hardy, too. Mm-hmm. And at the Garage Sale Mystery screening with Lori Loughlin a couple weeks ago and brought... somebody from there and introduce them to Bill Abbott, who's head of the network, and Dan Paulson. And so we're really seriously doing that. So on the Chesapeake Shores fan page, we're all working on it. So if you want to get involved, please do.
Yeah, I would love to see that happen because, you know, not to bring up our other beloved show, One Calls the Heart on Hallmark, they do such a great job.
Oh,
and
I
know Chessies can do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So
and it's
fun.
Not an either or either because it's just bringing up Hallmark. It's bringing
absolutely.
Up good energy, good family energy.
It's one whole family. Yeah. I love it. I love both shows, obviously.
I know. Me too.
I'm very excited. And if that happens, you know, I'll be there.
Will you be there?
I would so be there.
Somebody even just wrote on the fan page about maybe doing a Chessies cruise.
Ooh.
Oh.
Would you go?
I would go.
Would you go?
I would do a cruise. You know, I have a really cheesy comment. I was just thinking about the song in our discussion earlier. I probably am. But I have a really cheesy comment about this show. I was thinking about the whole coming home thing and the beautiful thing you said at the beginning about I want people to know they can always go home and that's what this show is about. And I think for Megan and a number of other characters, I really do feel like they're, in among other homes, I really do feel like they're coming home to themselves. You know, yeah. That's really cheesy, no, but it, we're cheesy. On Hallmark.
I love cheesy. I'm so cheesy.
But I feel like when I thought about you and this space and her new home, and you brought these personal items with you, and for so many of them, I think this is true for Bree with her play, and I think this is true for Connor finding his footing, and Trace with wanting to give something back, and I think many of them are coming home to themselves, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's great energy.
It is great energy.
It's great energy, and I love watching it, and knowing my parents watch it, it's also great.
My grandma's watching. It's the kind of show that you can pass on to people and know that you're like giving them a gift by passing it on.
Thank you. Especially you guys are the younger demographic. So, I mean,
I love that we're hosting the after show.
So, I love that you guys are finding characters that you identify with too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm 105, so I definitely understand that family dynamic to a T. Because it's so true. And I think that's also why my parents love it, because they're parents of five. So, there's a lot of ups and downs that's very, very, again, very relatable, which I love. But, okay, so I actually do have a couple questions, because we know that, like, you're big in Hallmark, and when is the next Murder, She Baked coming out?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Everybody's been so busy. We're really hoping, because that's Dolores is probably my most fun character I've ever gotten to do.
I love Dolores.
Working with Ally Sweeney, we just get there, and it's just, you just laugh. It's comedy, so it's fun. So we hope soon. I'm also going to be doing a Christmas movie this year too.
Which one?
I can't say yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it, and I read the script and I cried. And it's about hopes and dreams and coming home. Again, is a theme.
I told you guys, I love Countdown to Christmas.
Yes.
I need an option on my DVR where I can just press record all Countdown to Christmas, because I'm so worried I'm going to miss DVRing one. But I'm that person.
Yeah, I do too. I keep it on because I am somebody who I watch the news all the time, and it's so stressful. And so I consciously have got to input good programming and good energy into my house so I get out of that stress. And that's why I love Hallmark. That's why I love being part of Hallmark, because no matter what, you know you're going to get something positive, and this world needs that so much right now.
We do.
And it's cheesy, but it is so true.
But they're great. And we were talking, because we were at just Home and Family, all three of us.
Thank you for coming.
It
was great. We got great seats. Like smack dab front row in the middle. Thank you, Justine, for pulling that off for us. That was really fun. I love going to Home and Family, and because that's another family too. And such a fun, positive vibe always going.
You know,
there.
Hallmark, I have to say, from an actor's standpoint of view, it's like the old studio system. You know, usually you do a job and then you're gone. But Hallmark just keeps hiring you over and over, and I would be happy to spend the rest of my career with Hallmark. I mean, I just seriously am, you know, and so many of their initiatives that they do with animals are my passions as well. They've got the upcoming American Hero Dog Awards.
I love.
I know I'm going to present again, so.
Yes. Just bawl my eyes out.
I know.
Just take a
seriously.
Whole box of Kleenex.
Exactly.
My goodness.
So those little purses that you get, you just stuff the whole thing with Kleenex on it. Have you been to those yet?
No.
Have you seen it? Oh,
I've seen it.
Animals,
I have. Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry, I was distracted by. I think we didn't make it clear. Your Christmas movie is a Hallmark movie.
Yes, it's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't know. Yes, it's a Hallmark movie.
Sorry, guys.
Not a Hallmark movies and mysteries.
No, not a Hallmark movies and mysteries. No.
You said it's. You
I think I'm
like,
assuming
oh, no.
that's what people mean. Is it Hallmark or movies and mysteries?
Oh yeah. No, it's going to be one of the Christmas movies on Hallmark Channel.
Oh well, I'm really
so excited. I
know. Me too. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Is there anything else about this episode that you loved? And I'm sure you can't really tease anything else in the future. But anything else that we may have missed about this episode?
No, I think you guys really
awesome.
Got it.
It's
just portents of things to come. I think it gets better throughout the season, because we found our character, we found our foot, and we're just off to the races this year, guys.
Yeah.
And so everything was so special, and I know that every time that they would do the rough edit, they were so long, so over, that they'd have to cut out, this like cutting out children, but it's great quality, and I think people are going to be really happy.
DVD specials,
yeah.
Which, speaking of which, season one is available on DVD. Go buy it.
It is.
Go buy it. It's so good. So good.
And for all the people who say, why is it not on Netflix in the U.S., it's on demand for free, the entire first season.
Oh, it is?
With no commercials.
Where?
Yes.
if you have any cable or satellite provider.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
You can
that.
Go watch the entire season great. One. That's why it's not, if you're international, mm-hmm. season one is all on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And if you're in
but
the U.S., you have it on demand great. Through Hallmark. So you have to have Hallmark. But it if you have loved. Hallmark, you have it.
And in Canada, I know we get a lot of fans who are asking where that's going to be. And it's on the W Network in Canada. And I believe it was going to start the end of August, but it's going to start in the early September.
Okay.
So you can ask your cable provider.
Too. Great to know. Mm-hmm. You see, it's available everywhere, you guys. You just got to look. Love it. All right, before we wrap, we got to do quick predictions.
Oh, this is the yeah. buzz thing, right?
This yeah. is Woo! The... You're after
Buzz. Like aliens are landing.
I know. This is the spooky music. I do have one prediction, but you can say if I'm crazy or not. But that woman firefighter seems like she was eyeing Kevin on that scene. I was like, something's going on there. It was very brief, but I can totally see something happening with this.
You know what my acting coach used to say? It takes Olive 3 seconds to fall in love, and the rest is denial.
Okay.
What a so quote for the week. I'm going to drive home thinking about this. I just want to play Barbara's laugh there because it was so telling. When Marissa said, this is my prediction, and Barbara did this laugh, go back and replay it over and over so you can just hear the prediction laugh.
I know what you're saying.
I definitely think something's going to happen with Kevin and this female firefighter. Definitely.
There was fire.
There was spark. Yep.
So wait, does your life confirm the whole fall in love in three? I'm still on this tangent. The whole fall in love in 3 seconds and the rest
my
is
real
denial?
Life?
Yes, your
oh
real life.
Oh my goodness, yes. I'm a serial fallen lover.
I've only had that happen once.
Yeah, really?
I mean, I've had one relationship that definitely was that.
Yes. So I honestly cannot, I don't date now because whoever I kiss, I'm in a long relationship with. So I fall in love and I'm there forever. So I'm just being more discerning.
You are Hallmark embodied. You are the vibration of Hallmark.
I know.
All right, Stefan, any predictions on your end?
I wanted to hear Barbara's predictions. What do you predict for this season?
No.
I know. Well, okay, I have two predictions. I think Jess and David is a definite happening.
Okay.
But I was so excited that they were going to, I mean, it's a drama series. I was so excited that they were going to be able to develop in peace because Brie was in Chicago. Well, LOL, she's no longer in Chicago. So I think we're going to go back to that drama, but I think the wedding try-on moment was a preview of Jess and David. So I predict that, and I also predict that Mick's pattern of non-communication is really going to have to be dealt with, and we're going to have a lot of drama between him and Thomas going forward.
Okay.
Those are my predictions.
That's really good. Well, thank you so much, Barbara,
thank
for joining
you.
Us once again.
What
I actually have something for you. Hold on. This for you.
Oh,
here
are you kidding?
It's
oh my
flowers.
God, that's so beautiful.
Yes, thank you so much for
thank
joining.
You. Give me a hug, honey. Yes. Oh, I love you.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we love you, obviously.
Can I just welcome back? Can I also
anytime.
Say a shout out to FOBN fans of Barbie Niven? They've been with me forever. My support group, my friends. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome back anytime here.
Please, I love it.
AfterBuzz TV, we love you and we love this show. So much more to talk about. Great season ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Where can everyone keep following you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove or all my links online at americaslifecoach.us.
And
you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm there all the time, at Barbara Niven, and also on Facebook, Barbara Niven. Please join me there.
Excellent. And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We might have more special guests for this season. I'm really excited. Thanks, everyone.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you,
we love you,
Barbara.
Guys. Thanks, Jessie.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.